I want to share a few scriptures tonight, and that's okay. Sometimes we have to take a little detour, you know, have some good things. But we've been talking about guarding your heart, and I'm going to roll through some scriptures. Like I said, we don't want to go too long because the Holy Spirit had other things going on tonight, and that's all right. Proverbs 4:23, if you remember what we've been talking about, is about guard your heart above all else, for what determines the course of your life. If you're not guarding your heart, some things can happen, and bad things or good things, if you are guarding your heart. And it says, avoid all perverse talk and stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. And here we go. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. So again, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. We did talk about Mark chapter 4, the different soil types. We talked about the seed that fell by the way, the seed that fell on stony ground, and the seed that fell on thorns, and the seed that fell on good ground. One thing that the good ground has that the other ones don't is they guard their heart. Right? When we looked at Mark chapter 4, we see that Jesus talked specifically later in that chapter. He's explaining to his disciples, verses 14 through 20, he's explaining what the four soil type means, right? And really, you look at those four soil types, you're seeing one of them is they didn't receive the word, right? They heard it and they're just like, whatever. Other people came in, they heard it, they were all excited about it, and then things came up. Then we're seeing the other ones. when the word came, the cares of life came in, right? The trials, those things. So they weren't guarding their hearts. They weren't, preparing for things that are coming. You know, that's why I've been at funerals before, or different things. And when I was street evangelizing and doing different things, and one guy, I was talking with him, and he said, "Yeah, I was in church, but." I think he had a family member that died, and a preacher said, God just took him. Well, and that wrecked him, because now he's upset and blaming God. Now, wait a minute here. We need to understand the word and say God is good. God is love. We see that the Apostle Paul tells Timothy that God is love. And again, we live in a hostile world. I always like to say, we as believers, this is the worst it's going to get. This is for unbelievers. This is as good as it's going to get, right? So we're like halfway between heaven and hell in this realm. And we as believers, a water bill, some things are going to happen in this life. This is as bad as it's going to get, right? So the water bill comment, yeah, it is. So yeah, so, and we've got, this is plumbing month for the Ansel house. So, I've, had a toilet run in, I fixed that, now I've got another project going on, we've tore up another sink, so I've got to tear it up tomorrow, but I digress, and I've got some trigger phrases and words in here tonight that, we're going to, Adrian's, so, yeah, anyway, kind of weird month. So a lot of maintenance things around the Ansel house. But anyway, so I had to guard my heart in the process, right? I had to get my attitude in check and be like, okay, wait a minute. This isn't going good here. But so things are going to come your way. It's not if, but when, right? We all know that if, I don't want to get too morbid here, but the longer we live, we're going to lose loved ones. It's just, things are going to happen, that's just life. But we can also believe that if they're born again, we're going to see them on the other side. With Jesus, it's going to be a good thing. And so that's how we guard our hearts when we do run into diverse issues. If we're going to guard our hearts, we don't have to, fall apart and life ends, but we can see and go like, we got Jesus, right? And all things are possible to them that believe. Numbers 13, again, we're going to kind of, Numbers 13, 1 through 3, we see that the 12 spies, 10 of them did not guard their heart, did not take what the word said, did not take their, when the Lord commanded Moses, I am giving talking about the Canaan in Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. I am giving the Israelites this land. God promised the Israelites, the Hebrews. I like to use the word Hebrew because, again, later on when we get after Solomon, the kingdom divides, and it's Israel and Judah, and it's, I use Hebrews because it kind of encompass everybody, all the tribes. So that's why I often refer to it as Hebrews, the Hebrews. But we see that God gives them this land. He said, this is yours. And what happened? They didn't take that to heart. 10 spies said, we can't do it. Joshua and Caleb were like, we can do this, right? I mean, we've got this. And they're sitting there looking at, oh, well, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And I don't believe they're exaggerating. I don't believe they're really exaggerating a lot of the information that we're seeing through that. So it looks scary. So after 40 days, they came back, and what happened? They didn't guard their heart. Yeah, I got 10 guys that are saying, we can't do it. And what do? They influenced the entire Hebrew population. And then we see in chapter 14, they're ready to just, you know, it says they were wailing and they're crying all night. Over what? Like, what? Nothing even happened. I always read this. Sometimes, you ever like read the Bible sometimes and you're thinking, you're crying over nothing. Like, nothing happened. You know? Like, nothing happened. It's just, you got these people going, well, I don't think we can do it. Right? I mean, think about that. Somebody say something like, well, I'm not sure I can do it. Well, there's a way to do it somewhere. But they're falling apart over a lie. They're wailing all night. It's just so awful, so terrible. And they have to wait 40 years before they can come back and revisit this. So again, they didn't guard their heart. And tonight, read a few scriptures here. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, verse 9. And especially this week with a lot of strange things happening, you know, it's easy to get offended. It's easy to get upset. It's easy to go, what in the world is going on? There's just things I won't look at. I just won't partake in. I won't even read. I won't even do things because I don't want to go there, right? I mean, it's just, they're just people that there's just an absolute, they're just evil. I mean, if you have to celebrate over somebody getting assassinated and that makes you happy, the only ones that celebrate are demons. That's right. I'm telling you right now, only demons celebrate people getting murdered. That is sick. Yeah. These are people that are, we see Romans chapter 1, verse 27, they are void of judgment, right? It says that their conscience are seared and they have been given over, and that translation, it means they're void of judgment. It says they don't have the ability to discern right and wrong. And so, you know, I don't. There is no way that I want anybody to go through that or, you know, suffer evil like that or anything. It doesn't matter. But we want to guard our hearts on those things. Because, again, we can go down rabbit holes with whatever, and you can get yourself and you can get yourself to a state. But we're going to look at, again, we're going to think on things that are lovely and pure, right? Now, it doesn't mean we hide in a hole, right? We just play an ostrich and we just ignore everything that's going on. It doesn't mean that. But what it means is we're not going to meditate on things. We can be aware of things, but I'm not going to sit. I don't really spend a lot of time watching it. I'll just maybe just go through some highlights and stuff, but I don't care to really, you know, watch the news and spend a lot of time, you know, watching the world's testimony. I'm not really interested. And a lot of it's not even true anyway. So we're seeing Matthew chapter 24, verse 9. It says, and they shall deliver you. Jesus is talking at the end times. He is saying some things here. And this is very interesting and it's very timely for today. What especially what happened this week is it says, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted. Here we go. They shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. So this persecution, right? And what happens is sometimes we can be persecuted or people come against us because of our faith. Jesus said, they're going to hate you because of me. Yeah. I mean, it's just it. They're going to hate you because of me. And we can go down some rabbit hole again and wonder why, well, this is all, but we've got to guard our heart. Yeah. We've got to guard our heart. And Verse 10, it says, and then shall many be offended. Here we go. And they shall betray one another. Here we go. And they shall hate one another. How much hate's going on lately? It's just that we're in the end times. I'm telling you right now. I don't know when the rapture's going to happen. I have no idea. You know, I get a little nervous around people that predict raptures and stuff, because I'm like, my Bible says that Jesus doesn't even know, so how are you going to know when the rapture is going to happen? It's kind of like, many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. Here we go. And because iniquity shall abound, here we go, the love of many shall wax cold. Notice how, again, there's this, I always like to think of it as opinion. Iniquity, meaning what we interpret that as sin. When sin is heavy, there's a lot of sin, love is low, right? But when you live a clean life where you want to do the right thing, your compassion for people should increase as well, right? So it's a direct relationship. And so when iniquity abounds and it increases in our life, that our love will drop. Why is that? Because sin's selfish. I'll walk over you to fulfill my needs or desires or wants. And that's what really sin is. Iniquity. And it says, but here we go, but he that endures unto the end shall be saved. We were just talking about this last night as we kind of finish up here in just a minute, but we're talking about that last night, just about how many people are, you know, out there like, well, I'm just going to repent on my deathbed, or we're going to do these things and do these. And it just doesn't happen like that for people. Right? I just had somebody that I knew growing up, he's died in his sleep a few months ago, a month or two ago, right? There's no, Lord, I beseech thee. I have been, let me pull up all these scriptures and repent. Let me do all these. It doesn't happen that way for a lot of people, right? Now, some people, they suffer with, you know, ailments or and they're going down a road, and unfortunately, they don't receive healing. But sometimes there's no lengthy, like, I remember one time, somebody that I was a couple of times, one person in here in Des Moines went to the hospital years ago in visit, and when I prayed, led him to the Lord, and like 4 hours later, he was dead. You know, we don't have time sometimes. You know, think, well, if it's going to be okay, I'll repent here, I'll get saved here, I'll do this. It may not happen. And you know what the devil's a master of? Having an inconvenient time for bad things to happen to you. He's the master of that. And so we look here and it says, he that endures until the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world and the witnesses unto all the nations, and then the end, what shall come? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. 4:25. I've got a few more here. Actually, I've got a lot more, but I just want to go over a few more. Ephesians 4:25 says, so stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. So we're not guarding our hearts, are we? We're not. It's easy to lose control. And we see that Galatians chapter 5 is works of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit. And then it says, don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. Here we go. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. I grew up in a pretty, sometimes angry home a lot. A lot of my extended family too. We got anger issues, right? And then what happens is you get angry, and then everything starts getting escalated because you don't guard yourself. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14, 5:14 and 15. And gardening yourself and being good seed and being good soil, you know what? Sometimes things just don't happen instantly, right? We just lay hands on somebody and instantly they're just all their bad habits and their thinking and everything changes. No, you work on your thinking according to Romans 12, 1 and 2, right? You keep your body under subjection and you renew your mind. See, your body and your mind, the thing you don't have that Jesus takes care of for you is your spirit when you get born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we're a new creature. All things pass away. Behold, all things become new, right? So when we become born again, our spirits are brand new. But guess what? You still look like this. I mean, I'll get up in the morning, I'm like, yuck, look in the mirror. I'm still the same old. Oh, that's why we need a glorified body. At least I need a glorified body. I know none of you do, but I need a glorified body. We'll close with this scripture here, Galatians 5, 14 and 15, and then we'll skip down to 19. It says, for the whole law can be summed up in this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself, but if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out, beware of destroying one another. Verse 19, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear, talking about immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, derision, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. I want to stop there for a moment. It talks about that. People, everything, you know, it's interesting because the devil, his whole life is consumed with fear. Everything is fear. People who are in sin, people don't guard their hearts, you're going to open yourself up to fear. What is fear? We can walk right down through all these things. When you're into immorality or lustful things, fear of loss, right? Not going to be able to do this. Fear of loss. Idolatry. Sorcery, right? You're trying to control people. Fear, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, fear. They're going to get something you're not. Outbursts of anger. Again, fear. Somebody's going to leave you. Fear of loss or you know, fear that people won't like you. Selfish ambition. Again, fear. Somebody's going to get something you're not going to have. Derision and division. Again, fear. Somebody's leaving you. Fear you're going to lose something. Envy, drunkenness, again, fear or the I don't have the ability to cope. So I have a fear of dealing with things, so I got to drown it with alcohol or drugs. Wild parties or other sins, again, it's fear. I'm not going to have this experience again. Everything is based in the kingdom of darkness is fear. It's all driven by fear. Everything is fear-driven, right? When you see demons in the Bible that approach Jesus, what are they? They are fear-based, right? Their whole lives are consumed with fear. What do? They push that off on you. And if we're not keeping our, you know, guarding our hearts or things like that, that's gonna creep in. And then what's going to happen is we're going to step over into things we don't want to do, right? Frustrated, we got pressure, we got these things going on in our lives. But here we go. Verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces these kinds of fruits in our life: joy, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and what? Self-control. There is no law against these things. What's this? Because we don't have fear. We know that we can approach Him, and I believe Kayla was just talking about this earlier, that goodness and mercy will follow, right? Those things, that byproduct of the Holy Spirit, His presence, which is void of fear. There's no fear. There's no fear. And again, if it comes back to a relationship as well, if we're not connected with Him, we're going to have fear. I always like to say this, you know, afterwards, we go eat somewhere or do something, I'm not going to go to some complete stranger and say, would you pay for my meal? Because guess what? I don't know them, right? And they're probably going to go, no, I don't know you. Why? Or they're going to say, I don't know you. Or they're going to look at me like, oh, he's pathetic. Look at him. Oh, he needs to get me. Like, he's just that. So again, every evil action, if we're not guarding our heart, it's always based out of fear. Fear of missing out on something, or fear of there's manipulation involved. But when we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, we're going to be able to, again, experience the love of God. And really, it comes down to, are we going to be going to be able to guard our heart in the process, and are we going to be good soil? Because really what we talked about last time too was soil just simply means you have access or willing to receive the word and the commandment. Being good soil is just receiving it and sticking with it, right? Because those who are not good grounds, there's just no depth to them. Jesus talks about that. There's no depth to them. Or the cares of life come along or what have you. All of these things. And then again, instead of, well, you know, the Lord is good, I'm going to put my trust in Him. The circumstances, the situations, the drawing of the life, oh, I got to make money, and there's nothing wrong with making money. But when it consumes us and we choose that over God, that's a problem. And we don't want to be like the 10 spies where, you know, they ended up being bad ground. And again, the soil type is how we respond to the Word of God. That's really all the soil type is. How are you going to respond when the Word comes, whether that's written or spoken? It's how is that going to impact you? Father, we thank You so much tonight. Jesus, we praise You, Lord, tonight. No matter what life throws us, what situation, the enemy can come along and lie to us. The word comes, we're offended because of situations, because of people, because of whatever it is, and we get over into fear. But Father, tonight, my prayer is that we are going to guard our hearts from the negativity, from all of those things in the world. No matter what people do, we're going to continue to have our hearts focused on You, Jesus. We focus ourselves on You and Your Word, Lord God. And we think on whatever things are good, pure, and holy, and lovely. We're going to choose to think on those things, Father, tonight. Father, we just pray for our nation that there is healing in our nation, Father, but we are praying for an outpouring of Your Holy Spirit. And we're also praying tonight that our country would be turned around, we'd be turned to You, Lord God, and that there's a great awakening. There is a turning to You, Lord Jesus. That Jesus, that You are the King and the Lord of the United States of America and the world, that other countries are going to follow as well. Father, we thank You that there is going to be an outpouring, just like we read there in Matthew chapter 24. We thank You that that the word will be preached and then You'll come. Father, we thank You in the name of Jesus that we're going to see drastic change. And we also pray for Matthew chapter 6 that Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Lord God. Amen. We praise You and we thank You for all You continue to do in Your name. Amen. Amen. Well, have a great week, everybody.